Welcome to Hype episode 56. My name is Selena and I am here with all the usual people who's always on the show. Yay! Except it's just me and a bunch of new people. So hello everybody. It's kind of a special show this week because all of our hosts, except for me, Selena, who is in no way bitter, are going to Comic-Con this week, which means for Hype to continue, we sort of had to improvise. So we brought in a bunch of people from Hypeable.com, and you might recognize their voices from other podcasts as well. Before I allow them to introduce themselves, I just really quickly want to give you the usual spiel. Hypeable, Hype is, of course, Hypeable.com's entertainment podcast, bringing you all the latest news, discussion, and analysis from all of your favorite fandoms. As always, you can find us on Twitter at HypeableHype, on Instagram at HypeableHype. I have told the guys to put on some fun Comic-Con stuff, so make sure you check and let me know if they don't. And of course you can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. Enough of my voice. How about everyone just introduces themselves in order of the list at the top of the doc? I think that would be easiest. Tell us, tell the listeners how, what you do on Hypable, and if you're on any other podcasts, stuff like that.
Okay, I guess that makes me first.
Yeah.
I'm Caitlin. I cover about 87 shows on Hypeable. I cover Supernatural, Arrow, The Flash. I'll be covering Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. And right now I'm doing Wayward Pines for the summer. And I have been on every round of Rewatchable, and I was on Glee Chat for a little while. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah, awesome.
So hi, I'm John Thrasher. I am a former host and creator.
John from Glee Chat.
you said, "Oh my god," and I was like, "What? What happened? Tell me all the details."
It's just you.
Yeah, just me. I am a former host and creator of Glee Chat, the first sort of original Hypeable podcast back in the day, and I actually have been with Hypeable.com since the very beginning, when it was just me, Andrew, Richard, and one other person, Mason, for those of you who probably know. And yeah, I did Glee Chat with Caitlin. For Caitlin joined in the last couple sort of weeks, or I guess months of the show. I shouldn't say weeks, Caitlin. Sorry about that. I was like, that was a lot longer.
It was a little bit longer, though.
Yeah, you joined and then the show ended, basically.
And then that's basically, what you're trying to say. Yeah. And so, yeah, we did 106 episodes of Glee Chat over 4 years, which is crazy to think about. And it's been a lot of fun. And since then, I started my own show with a friend of mine named Darren. You can check that out at currentlypodcast.com. It's called Currently. You can find it in the iTunes store.
Oh, awesome.
And that's my spiel, and I'll stop talking about myself now. Katie.
Cool. And now on to, like, from someone with loads of podcasting experience to someone who has literally never done it
with
before.
With none. Okay, well, I'm Katie, and I'm relatively new to the Hypeable team, so thanks for letting me join.
Of course.
As John said, yes, my first time on a podcast.
Welcome. Congrats, too.
Thanks.
It's going to be great. It's usually a little bit of a shift when you listen to a show and then you're on it and you realize you can actually talk back.
Talk, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And Brittany?
I think I rival Caitlin for the most coverage on Hypeable show-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm Brittany and I've been at Hypeable for almost 2 years. And I cover Once Upon a Time, Girls, Looking, Hannibal, American Horror Story, Grey's Anatomy, Elementary, and The Leftovers. And I am on 3 podcasts. This is my third round of Rewatchable, and I'm on that with Caitlin. And I'm also host on Book Hype and Onceable.
Cool. So, and you do Book Hype with Merrima. So
I do connection. Book Hype with Merrima.
Yes. Awesome. And of course, you can check out all of these guys' writing and the podcasts over on Hypeable.com, except for John's, you know, currentlypodcast.com, was it?
Yes, it is, currentlypodcast.com. Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem.
Can I interject one little thing?
Go for it.
I want to just publicly apologize to Caitlin on the show because yesterday Cat Twitter handle, I was like, hey, everybody, did you miss John? If so, he's going to be on this week's episode of Hype. And for some reason, actually, I know exactly why. I was listening to the show and was only listening to, I think it was Marima and Pam and Andrew. And it just didn't like register with me that it was going to be like a whole new group of us, and completely left Caitlin out from the Glee chat. So apologies, Caitlin. I hope hopefully you'll accept my apology here.
I mean, I was pretty traumatized.
You seem traumatized. You totally were. Sorry about that.
This is a grave offense. I don't think you should accept that, Caitlin. I think, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not on Glee Chat anymore, so I don't have to do anything.
Okay, well, now that that's out of the way, it's clearly the most important thing. Now we can move on to, you know, fandom stuff. Slightly right. Below that. So because it's a bit of a different show this week, we're not going to have all of the usual segments that we do with everyone who is normally on the show. It's basically going to be a news show for the most part. But before we do that, I just really quickly want to sort of send a few feelers out into the air. I know there were two movies that premiered this week, and neither of them have exactly been amazingly received, but I wanted to know if any of you guys have watched them. So let's start with Terminator Genesis. Has anyone seen it?
Yep.
What did you think?
As someone who... I only ever saw one Terminator movie years and years and years ago, so I can't really compare, but it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it was enjoyable.
Okay. Well, that's kind of sad. All right, then. Has anyone else seen Magic Mike?
I have a ticket for 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay, so. Well, that doesn't help us, but great.
A little delayed, but...
Okay. See, that was not as great a discussion as I was hoping it would be, but fine, whatever. I thought that Ant-Man had come out this week because there's been so much news about it lately, and I was all pissed off that my cinema didn't run
thing.
It.
I thought the same thing. I was like, I can't wait to go. And I was like, wait, it doesn't come out till next week.
It's so
forgetting
weird.
It's a thing.
I know. Are you the one who has that article going up about like why it's a thing?
I think that's Danielle.
It's Danielle, right, okay. Yeah,
but it's totally on point because it's like, oh yeah, that movie.
Right. And James Gunn is all saying like how it's the best script he's ever read. And I'm thinking, is he just... trying to help them out here. Anyway, we'll discuss that on a future Hype whenever that comes out and we've all seen it. Moving into the main portion of the show, which is going to be the news, I'm going to start us out just to make sure you guys all get into it and no one, you know, gets stage fright or anything. So the first story of the week is actually not long after we recorded last week's show. This was June 4th. Right. It was because it was her Independence Day confession. Ava DuVernay, who had been in... she'd been rumored for Marvel's Black Panther as the director, announced sort of off the cuff, kind of, at some premiere, that she was not going to be directing Black Panther. She explained that they had some, she said, quote, different ideas about what the story would be. Black Panther is, for anyone who doesn't know, Marvel's first movie starring a person of color as the main character, who will be played by Chadwick Boseman. And if Ava DuVernay had accepted the offer, she would have been not only Marvel's first female director, but also the first person of color to direct a Marvel movie in this sort of string of superhero movies that they're doing. So interesting development. I don't think anyone was expecting that. What do you guys think?
Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about her as a director. Does she have a sort of accredited history of other movies? Am I missing something?
She did Selma.
Oh, that's right. She did do Selma.
Yeah.
I knew that actually in the back of my head. Yeah, I think it's kind of upsetting in some ways, right? Because Marvel doesn't exactly have a lot of diversity. That's been one of the sort of criticisms, I think, of both on screen and behind the screen. But so that's kind of upsetting in that way. Hopefully they'll find someone equally as interesting in terms of what they can add to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin, I know you have some thoughts on this.
I mean, I was disappointed, but what kind of caught my eye was that it was over creative differences, and this is not the first time that's happened with a Marvel film, so that really makes me concerned, I guess, about the products we might be seeing in the rollout of future movies if they're having enough films with people who are having to walk away from them because of studio issues. Like, that's potentially a really bad thing for a fan to be hearing.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I'm reading the article now, and the quote that she gives is, she says, quote, "I think I'll just say we had different ideas about what the story should be, or would be, rather." So the way she kind of phrased it even sounds like there was some, you know, maybe some drama in the background. You know, "I think I'll just say" kind of says that she's trying to tiptoe around that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit torn on this, and Katie and Brittany, obviously, feel free to add your thoughts on as well, because, you know, when I wrote up the article, I had just written up an article the previous week about how the director of Thor 2 sort of expressed similar sentiments, and because I'm, like, a Joss Whedon fangirl, I read everything he says, and he has also said some similar things about Avengers. So in that sense, these creative differences... do mean that certain directors are choosing to, are feeling like they are limited. And I feel like when someone like Ava DuVernay, who said no from the outset, it's a little bit less of a problem than when a director feels like the movie that's being cut together isn't the movie that they've been shooting. But at the same time, when you're dealing with a studio like Marvel, obviously this is like a TV series, you know, in movie form, like they have very specific ideas about what they want and how they want everything to tie together and how they want to set up future events. So when they get directors that get that, like the Russo brothers, who are directing everything at this point, like entire phase three, just the Russo brothers, or four, or no, three, we're at three. Why can't I say that word? So in that sense, it's better that they hold out for someone who gets their vision. But then you get into the whole, and this could be like an hour discussion on its own, but what's most important, the continuity or the artistry?
What is the vision?
Becomes right.
The big question. Because that was the thing with Edgar Wright and Ant-Man too, that was a big blow up of him having to walk away from something he'd invested so much time in. And so gets you wondering what the vision is there that makes people walk away.
The Vision? Was that a sort of pun on the Avengers?
But I'm trying not to.
I want to say just one other thing is I feel like, and you guys can chime in and disagree with me, but doesn't it feel like some of these Marvel movies kind of feel like kind of the same? Like it,
absolutely. Ooh, those are fighting words, John. Like,
yeah, I think that it would do well for them to have some diversity in terms
of... take a chance on something different. Yeah.
Totally. I mean... that might be the good and the bad thing about these Marvel movies is they do kind of all feel like one continuous movie. In fact, you know, there are events that happened in some of these movies that I get confused in now. But yeah, I think they should take a risk, and especially like with, I think, something like Ant-Man, I was hoping that maybe it would, you know, kind of be that outlier type of movie in this universe. But anyway, we can keep our fingers crossed on this podcast at least.
Do you have anything to add, Katie?
I was going to say, isn't that what people liked The Winter Soldier for? Was that it didn't feel like all the other Marvel movies? And it's arguably everyone's favorite. So why not try a slightly different formula? Because it worked once before.
That's true. And it'll be really interesting to watch how the story progresses. Because they're clearly looking for a director, you know, for Ava DuVernay. I mean, when she was first announced as a potential director, they were very upfront about they want a woman, they want a person of color, they want to fill in these people that they haven't been choosing so far. So it'll be interesting to see who they get for Black Panther now, and also for Miss Captain Marvel, who last we heard was Angelina Jolie. Let's save that for another time, because we should probably move on now to DC. Yay!
Yeah, so recently Entertainment Weekly Weekly, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's so many different entertainment magazines. Entertainment Weekly released a bunch of new photos from Batman v Superman, which is the next installment from the Superman movie franchise, if you will. And we get a lot of great pictures, and the cover is Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. Although I have to say, and I agree with Josh Neely, who wrote this article, that the cover kind of is a little bit of a letdown. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but in some ways it's just them standing there. And in fact, Wonder Woman, which everyone I think is in some way the most excited for, because she's sort of, I don't know, we haven't seen her obviously before in any superhero movies, is sort of covered up with giant text that says Batman v Superman. Like,
it's,
you know,
covered
so there's
up by much else though.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's pretty much it. You know, she could have been wearing the text as far as we can tell, but you know, we wanted to see a little bit more of her like weapons and her lasso and the whole thing. But you know, it's exciting, I think, to see some of this stuff. And I'll just sort of describe a couple of the pictures. In another photo, we see Bruce Wayne speaking to Wonder Woman at what looks like a gala. And I have to say, when I saw this, I was like, really? Another gala to be, you know, have Bruce Wayne at talking to a beautiful woman who might know his...
It's a tried and tested formula.
That's true. You're right, actually. Another photo, we see Batman and Superman face-to-face, almost... really close up, and Batman has his I want to say uniform on, but there's another word for it. A suit would be the one I'm looking for. And you know, he sort of has the lit up eyes, and it's raining, and you know, it's a great one too. I think we've seen we've already had a trailer from this movie, so a lot of this stuff kind of I think is pulled from that. We also get another photo of Lex Luthor, who actually is bald in the comics but has hair in this particular photo. Somebody
outraged.
Gasped. Outraged.
How dare they?
In a really bad way. Oh.
We actually know that he'll be bald in the film. We've reported on that before. But Josh Neely, who wrote up this article, also mentions he wonders if there's going to be a story behind the bald head, and could kryptonite have something to do with his sudden baldness, which I thought was hilarious. Maybe it could. Who really knows? And then just to recap a couple more of the photos here, there's another photo of Superman sort of standing with what seems to be lots of people sort of reaching for him as if he's a god. We see another photo of Batman standing next to the bat signal, which I like to call the fat signal because because the logo just is sort of this thick, giant blob with little tiny indentions that remind you that it's an actual Batman logo. It just looks kind of chunky to me, but I'm not going to, you know, fat shame the bat signal here. But anyways, so yeah, we have a lot of really great photos, and you can check them out, of course, on hypeable.com. Did any of you guys see these and sort of have a reaction to them?
My biggest reaction is that that's very clearly a wig on Jesse Eisenberg.
I know, right?
Yeah.
There's no curls. Where are his curls?
Yeah, yeah, it looks a little bit wrong. It really
it
does.
It looks like
yeah,
a wig on a CW show. Like, it's a bad wig.
I don't know that there's much more to take away from these photos. Obviously, we're still a year, a little less than a year out from the movie. But yeah, interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's great to finally see something from this, a giant... very anticipated movie.
Also, next week, Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill will be at Comic-Con, so I'm sure when people return to hype, they'll have lots of updated information to talk about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I guess moving from a movie that most people are excited about to a movie that literally nobody is excited about.
Yeah, so Disney announced that they're creating a live-action Prince Charming movie because we don't have enough live-action going on. And
I'm
the men's
so
side
excited.
Is just not being told. So they really need to catch up.
We really need, a good hero story, you know?
We need more white men in
film. Exactly. I think the most exciting part about this news, though, is that it's not really going to be about the Prince Charming who gets the down on her luck maiden who happens to stumble across his path, but about the brother of Prince Charming.
This is so once upon a time. I just said this on Twitter. It's ridiculous.
Yes, I definitely agree. It is. It reminds me of Once Upon a Time, and because it's Chris Colfer's book release day, he sets up the brothers, like, that they're all married to each individual princess, and then there's, like, one who's lost. And I'm like, oh, so it's basically that story that they're trying to redo.
What, like, there's a group of Charmings, and they're all brothers?
Yeah, that's so amazing. In his, like, fairy tale world, all the Charmings are married off to, like, wow. Aurora, and then Cinderella and Snow White, and then there's one brother who's kind of just lost.
It's like Paul Charming.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which,
the youngest
at the time
brother
when I was
lost.
Reading it, like when the first book came out, I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty ingenious. But now this is happening, and I'm like, eh.
Right.
Not so ingenious.
Yeah, not so ingenious. But I think that it'll be interesting to see. I'll probably go see it. I like what they did with Maleficent. I like that they told a new story. But again, Once Upon a Time has pretty much told every other story of fairy tale characters that you could possibly come up with. So,
yeah. And that's obviously what probably is partly leading this surge of backstory, you know, surprising backstories for these iconic figures, as they've seen, oh, Once Upon a Time did it. How hard can it be, you know?
Yeah, and then they're looking at, like, oh, people, like, really liked what Chris Pine looked like in Into the Woods. Let's get another really handsome man up there who's down on his luck and needs a fair maiden. This does kind of give us the opportunity to get a really strong female lead to play opposite the down on the luck brother. So hopefully that happens.
That's true. That's a good way of looking at it. I was going to say, you know, you got to appreciate the irony of the fact that Disney is thinking, how can we shake up this franchise? Ah, let's do a movie about a guy.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Instead of all those ladies. Yeah.
I have a question.
We have too many princesses.
That's a good point, Caitlin. I just had a question. This might just be a stupid question, but is there a Prince Charming brother in this sort of lore or in the canon of this stuff, or is this a completely original?
I don't think
there is
any canon about Prince Charming. I think he's literally just a pretty face.
Yeah, because they're never really the focus of unless you're like thinking of Shrek, like, he's a villain. But other than that, there's no other.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, like Snow White, for example, like his name isn't even, they don't give him a name at all. They're just like, oh, that guy, he's going to come and kiss her. But just, he's that guy. It's not like they don't even call him Charming. Once Upon a Time did that. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop it.
Sure, why not? I mean, we can't really say anything else until we know, you know? And these remakes, I mean, I've made my peace with them. I'm not going to complain anymore.
Speaking of movies that nobody wants to see.
Yeah.
Because we have so many successful movies based on board games, we're going to have a movie based on Monopoly. Thank you, Lionsgate and Hasbro. I think the best thing about it is the press release that describes it, though. It says, the story centers on a boy from Baltic Avenue who uses both chance and community in a quest to make his fortune, taking him on a fun, adventure-filled journey. It's about making your own luck, what makes you truly rich, and, of course, avoiding jail time.
This is crazy.
I mean, it's going to be written by Andrew Niccol. He did The Host, The Terminal, and The Truman Show. So there's, you know,
a
pretty good pedigree there.
Yeah.
So it could be like a really great surprise, like how amazing the Lego movie was, and who would think that a movie based on Legos is amazing. But then you could also get like Battleship.
Yeah,
I was just going to say Battleship. I hope it's nothing like that.
Yeah, Battleship, but with money. You know, instead of battleships.
I wonder if the iron is going to make a comeback because it was discontinued as a piece.
It like makes its heroic return, saves everyone.
It's heroic cameo.
So the best part of this is when the movie's really successful and they make a Monopoly version of Monopoly. It'll be like Monopolyception. It'll be great.
Wow. Yeah, this is pretty crazy. We also had the announcement of a Hello Kitty movie this week, which was fun because I got to make a stupid graphic for it. But yeah, this is just fun. I mean, it's never been more entertaining to be an entertainment writer because of all these random-ass announcements.
You guys remember when McDonald's had Monopoly? I think they still do it, actually.
Yeah, I loved it when I was younger. Yeah, I was like, can we please? I'm like, just go and get a large soda. I just want the pieces.
Yeah, exactly. I would collect like two of the three pieces you would need for like the $10 million prize. And I was really thinking I was going to be able to get it one day. And so I would just keep going to McDonald's. Sure enough, I didn't win $10 million.
Aww. Well, we kind of figured. Probably.
Yeah, not exactly.
So yeah. McDonald's will clearly be a massive sponsor of this movie.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So next up, our final piece of movie news this week before we move on to television is something that just broke a few hours ago. And I've got the story up here. This is really cool. This is Star Wars, guys. So finally something that most people can get on board with. So the anthology movie exploring the origin of Han Solo is moving forward. And we just learned today that the movie will be directed by Lego Movie directors Chris Miller and Phil Lord. Which is interesting. I mean, these guys are just taking Hollywood. You know, they're pretty much just doing every cool project you can imagine at the moment. So this movie, as I said, will be exploring the origin story of Han Solo. The description reads, "The story focuses on how young Han Solo became the smuggler, thief, and scoundrel whom Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi first encountered in the cantina at Mos Eisley," says Lucasfilm. I just read the whole article, right? So Chris Miller and Phil Lord released a statement as well saying, kind of funny, "This is the first film we've worked on that seems like a good idea to begin with." They say, "We promise to take risks to give the audience a fresh experience, and we pledge ourselves to be faithful stewards of these characters who mean so much to us. This is a dream come true for us." So, I mean, really good news. There's been some dissent in the comments saying how we don't need a origin story for Han Solo because his story should stay a mystery. But then, you know, as our fearless leader Andrew so wisely said on Twitter, Disney can't make money off of that. So it really was only a matter of time. So what do you guys think?
I have one thing I wanted to mention, and I'm not a Star Wars fan. Don't shun me off of the podcast, please.
That's okay. We've already got Kyle on that.
What's that? Sorry?
We've already got Kyle on that, admitting that. So.
Oh, okay. There you go. But my first reaction when I saw this was, okay, now I have to fit a brand new Star Wars movie into my already scrambled perception of like where this fits into the sort of chronology of these movies, because I still don't quite get the sort of episode numbers, and then now I know there are a couple more spinoffs coming. So that was my first reaction. But my other thing I kept thinking of was, who would they have to play this, because Harrison Ford is obviously such a well-known. But yeah, that's all.
No, I know. Chris, what's his face?
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, there you go.
Obviously.
The new Han and the new, you know, Indiana Jones will be.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I've only ever seen episode 5. So.
What?
And I was being graded on it, so
5?
I had to watch it.
That is a sad state of affairs for me.
Well, I kept quiet during the Marvel and DC conversations because I've only ever seen Thor and Iron Man 1.
What?
So I literally can't contribute to any of this.
Oh my god.
Get but we're off moving into TV, so I'm good to go now.
You know what?
Your hypeable license.
That's amazing. Like, until I started doing this podcast, I was pretty much right there with you. I had seen Star Wars, but, you know, all this stuff like Marvel and DC, I was like, oh, it's too much for me. It's too many movies. But now, you know, obviously, yeah, you have to know. That's cool. That's kind of funny. You really should watch Star Wars, though. I feel like there's a lot of hypeable staff members who need to be sat down and shown these movies.
I'm definitely one of them myself. I will say, I remember watching the early ones from maybe the 80s or even earlier, 70s. Sorry, I just don't know. 70s. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, these graphics are really unbelievable. I thought growing up, like, I remember Jurassic Park was like the big sort of, oh my gosh, look what they did with computer graphics. But I was really impressed with the graphics from the early Star Wars movies. I mean, they still hold up.
Yeah, I feel like, you just as a Star Wars fan, I feel like I need to interject. You might have seen the remastered versions.
Oh, and so, you know what? They were,
They were
remastered. I just
so
realized.
We don't get angry, you know, who shot first kind of comments.
So wait, if they're remastered, does that mean like some of those graphics weren't originally like in?
Oh yeah. They added like a whole bunch of stuff. There's a whole, again, here's something we could talk about for hours, but there's this whole, you know, anger brewing in the Star Wars fandom because there were the original films, and then George Lucas went in and changed a bunch of stuff, and now those the original movies don't really exist anymore, and it's a whole thing. There's some great documentaries on it.
Wow, I had no idea. That's even more fascinating.
There's a it's a fascinating fandom for sure. Yeah, 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 definitely. Cool. But yeah, so I mean, as a, I guess the only Star Wars fan here. Really?
I mean, I've seen all the movies. I like Star Wars.
There you go. Katie's keeping suspiciously quiet.
I have no opinion. Okay. I've seen them. They were enjoyable.
All right.
As far as it goes.
Well, I guess I'll put my official stamp of approval on this then. I think it's exciting. There you go.
I put my stamp of approval on the people who wrote the Lego movie. So.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, Katie, it's finally your turn.
Oh boy, and some not so great news too. Sorry to bring everyone down. A couple weeks ago, we found out that NBC canceled Hannibal, and recently we found out that Netflix and Amazon have passed on it.
Boom.
So what are the other options?
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's dead in the water, does it? Because there's Hulu, and I feel like nowadays, if you already have the budget for a season or for a show, there are so many options for these shows to sort of go away from broadcast networks to streaming services in some way.
Didn't Yahoo save something?
Yeah, Community.
Community.
Oh, yeah, Community.
Yeah, because, like, Paramount International owns Hannibal, and all these networks would have to do is just pick up the licensing fees to run it.
There you go.
So Amazon seemed like it was, like, the... I was going to say prime choice. And it is. Wow. But the whole series is already running on Prime. Like, as soon as an episode airs, it's up on Prime. All the past seasons are up there. I was really banking that Amazon was going to pick it up. But
yeah, that's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. So it's just another chapter. I mean, I binge watched this show in order to catch up to cover it for Hypebol. And now it's just not coming back. And so I'm really rooting for it. Because it gave me nightmares for 2 straight weeks.
So you must have it back. Yeah. No, it's so sad. And also because obviously a few days ago, the actors' contracts expired, which makes this whole pickup situation a whole lot more complicated.
Yeah, because they can start shopping for whatever they want now. Like, they can be picked up by another project.
Yeah, Denmark might reclaim Mads Mikkelsen. Who knows? If I have anything to say about it. No, but yeah, I mean, and there's always, I mean... Who knows what's going to happen? But I mean, seeing how many shows are revived for miniseries these days, I mean, there's always that option at some point, because this such a shame. And poor Brian Fuller.
Yeah, he doesn't have a very good track record.
That makes me more nervous for American Gods than anything else, because I'm so excited for it. And now it's just like, this is just another chapter in his book of television series that just can't go anywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's so beautiful, because I, like, when I binge watched it, I watched it without commercials, and when I started watching it on NBC, it made all the difference being able to watch an episode straight through, because it is so beautiful that you don't want to, the commercials really make a huge difference, so I was really hoping it got to a streaming service.
When you say beautiful, do you mean, like, the cinematography is beautiful?
Oh, yeah, the cinematography is one of the best parts of the show.
Oh, nice. I will not be watching that because I get scared easily, but I'll take your word that it's a beautiful show. It's interesting. Sorry, not to go on about this, but isn't it interesting that we sort of are now entering, or maybe have already entered, this sort of phase where when shows get canceled, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll never see them again. It's such a huge change because of streaming services in the last few years.
That's a really good point. And I think, you know, an interesting thing, because it kind of transitions perfectly to the next story, because this goes for movie series and books as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And speaking of things Netflix is also not responsible for, they did not put out this brilliant Series of Unfortunate Events trailer that was released over the holiday weekend. And if you haven't seen it, you have to go watch it. If you're a fan of the series at all, it is so good. So it's this very short animated trailer, and it has like all these little Easter eggs for the book series, and Count Olaf's shadow makes an appearance. And the most convincing thing to me before Netflix confirmed that it was a fake trailer was the Netflix logo at the end was so convincing on the typewriter. The way they had it like pop up like every other Netflix thing, it was so good. I was like, oh, this is definitely a trailer. But unfortunately, it is not.
Can I ask real quickly, sorry, have you heard the rumor that, I mean, Netflix has denied that they did this, but have you heard the rumor that they, it's kind of part of a marketing campaign where they're releasing stuff like from the characters?
Yes, I did. And especially because as the article points out, the YouTube name of the account that it was released for is a character from the book.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah, and it just reminded me of when American Horror Story had that like fan-made trailer released before FX started releasing things. And this does more, I think, for the series than an official account could ever do. It's so good.
And it gets people talking, too, which is why, you know, you have to wonder.
Yeah, and especially because we haven't really heard, we've heard nothing since November of last year when they announced that they were going to be adapting this.
So do we have any series of unfortunate events book fans here who are excited for this?
I mean, I've read them all.
Just her.
I was like hoping someone.
I'm excited.
That's awesome. Because
I didn't like the movie.
No, me neither, I was going to say.
Yeah. I thought that Jim Carrey was creepy enough to play Count Olaf, but that was about as far as my interest went.
It was just, I remember just being so bizarre and not in a good way. Like, because the books, I've read the first book and it's very bizarre, but funny. And the movie just wasn't. Was just horribly scary and weird.
Yeah, this was the first book series that my brother actively ever showed any interest in. In fact, until this day, he's now 22. So he would get the books and my mom would buy like two at a time or whatever. And I would read both of them and then he would get them and then he'd take his time reading them. So I only read them because they were laying around the house, but I really enjoyed them. So I'm looking forward to this, especially since it's geared toward a child audience, like that age level, because I enjoy that.
Awesome.
I'll take the next one. And actually, Selena, this is funny because I didn't realize until after I posted this into our document that you wrote this article.
Oh, you know what? I wrote a lot of these.
Selena's just writing her life away on Hypable. But I wanted to mention this because I wanted to sort of have a conversation about TV versus film as we transition out of our TV and film discussion here. But legendary Hollywood star Dustin Hoffman claimed that while movies are getting worse, television is getting better. And he says, he talked to The Independent, which is a UK publication. He says, quote, "I think right now television is the best that it's ever been. And I think it's the worst that film has ever been in the 50 years that I've been doing it. It's the worst."
Wow.
I thought this was interesting. Let me go on here. He also says, quote, "I don't think that has anything to do with whether you're good or not. It's just about whether or your films make money or not," he concludes. Yeah, I think let's talk a little bit, if you guys want to, about, I mean, we've talked a lot about movies and television already today. And a lot of people, and Dustin Hoffman, you know, as he mentioned, has been around for 50 years and he's a well-respected actor in the industry in a lot of different ways. You know, for him to make such a statement like that, I think was really interesting to me because we've heard that right now it's the sort of second golden age of television. Selena, I'm going to ask you, since you're the one writing all of our, entertainment news, what do you think about his statement? And do you think that television is better than the film industry right now?
Yeah, I mean, this was, I mean, for people who read Hypable and who sort of follow my morning news writing cycle, this was one of the articles where I held back on the snark, you know, completely, because it's such a divisive topic and it's so easy. In these cases, you know, I always look for news that will get people talking and it's so hard to not add your own commentary into these things.
Yeah.
But I mean, just speaking for my own opinion on this, I think that he's right, and I think it's good that, I mean, he's not, it's not like unequivocally it's the truth, but I think it's an important opinion which established people need to get out there, because it's one thing for us fans to go, oh, you know, I'm so sick of, like, Disney and DC and you know, these big studios just basically pumping out, you know, someone said earlier that these superhero movies kind of blend together. It's one thing for us to say that, because then people will go, oh, well, if you don't like it, you know, just don't watch it. And but it's something else for someone who is legitimately working and breathing Hollywood and has been for so long to sort of be able to, even though, I mean, as Josh pointed out in the comments and as other people have said, even though he himself has certainly not stayed away from a lot of these less than amazing movies, shall we say, that he's sort of able to reflect on it and say, yeah, the industry is very, very, very driven by money these days. You know, if a movie doesn't make, and we've talked about this before as well, if a movie doesn't do well in the first box office weekend, it's basically a failure. And the studios know this, and they are making movies not to express, you know, they're not taking risks because they can't afford to take risks. And that is basically what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of the same things. We've talked a lot on Hypeable about diversity and the lack of same. And it's because of what Dustin Hoffman is describing. And it is the truth. And I'm almost done now because I'm speaking really fast. But on television, though, and this is something that I also just wanted to state, is that I think, on one hand, he's right in that television is becoming more like movies. And I'm interested in your guys' opinions, especially Brittany and Caitlin, because you guys watch so much TV. Because I've always preferred TV to movies myself, because I've always felt like TV, there's more chances taken, you know, there's more mistakes made and there's more lessons learned and there's more focus on, like, as long as a character goes through an evolutionary sort of development, as long as a character learns from stuff, then what happens around them is sort of less of a focus because it's all about character. And then I feel like when Hoffman says that TV is becoming more like movies, it's because he's looking at these very cinematic shows that are fantastic. But for, like, just my personal opinion, I would like a little bit less True Detective and a little bit more Dark Angel and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know?
Happy medium.
So exactly. So those are all my thoughts. I'm done. Selena out.
Well, I'll just chime in really quickly. I mean, I work at Oxygen and Bravo, the cable reality television networks, and I have to completely agree with what he's saying, because even in reality television, I mean, he says television in general, but even reality television has, I mean, you guys probably remember 10 years ago, reality TV was at its peak, you know, there was all Big you Brother. Saw on television was reality TV. And it sort of, I remember at least being like, oh my gosh, when will there ever be scripted television again? Because I miss those sort of storytelling type of shows. And I completely agree. I mean, we have a lot of struggles at Oxygen and Bravo, and it's based on the fact that everyone is watching these scripted cable reality shows like The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and all these other huge, huge shows that we all cover on Hypeable.com. So check it out if you're listening. But yeah, I completely agree, because even in the television industry, you know, we're seeing it on our end based on the genre. I mean, it's really the sort of scripted dramas that are doing things for entertainment that hasn't happened in a very long time. And I also think, let me just add one last thing about movies, is that people can get what we used to be able to get from movies, the big drama, the big emotion, from television now, which I think is what you were also saying, Selena. And I feel like the experience of going to the movies is sort of a different, people are just looking for a different thing. I think a great sort of example is Jurassic World. I mean, it just became the biggest movie ever made, basically. And I think it's because people want that big, kind of crazy, fun, exciting moment at at the theater, and not necessarily a sort of long, drawn-out story. All right, I'm done my rant. Anyone else want to rant?
Yeah, no, John, what you said is absolutely where I wanted to chime in, so that's perfect. Because if I go to a movie, I want that big, explosive, just, I want to be taken, I want to be so submerged in the story, and I know I'm only going in for an hour and a half.
Yes.
Like, hour and a half, 2 hours. But when I watch a TV show, I want to be invested for 5 to 6 hours, or however long a series is now, because, like, the bigger dramas are, like, 5 to 6 hours. And you could do so much in that time if you have the right people. And that's why I think the actors are going for the HBO dramas such as True Detective, because they're given 5 to 6 hours to tell a compelling story that they and can build these characters and stay with them, as opposed to doing a movie where, like, you're not on screen half the time or whatever.
Yeah, and it's all special effects anyway, you know, in terms of an actor's.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I've talked a lot, but I was just going to say, there's also this sort of, you know, even 10 years ago, there were a lot of sort of actors that were just movie actors or TV or just TV actors. And now we're really seeing such a blend of those things. I mean, look at Chris Pratt. He started out on Parks and Rec.
Which, now he's everywhere.
And now he's the biggest movie star in the world. I mean, and vice versa. I think, who's the guy in True Detective that I'm blanking on, that big actor?
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes, Matthew McConaughey. He had some, you know, obviously a huge movie star, and then sort of transitioned over into television. So, yeah, I think that there's a sort of different needs and different sort of services that people want from their entertainment, like Brittany was sort of saying.
I think, too, that there's a measure of sequel fatigue in movies.
For sure.
Yeah.
What are the big movies this summer? Jurassic sequel. World. Gee, that's a sequel. Like, we have all these Age Marvel movies that are sequels to everything else. And then the, like, Inside Out is, like, doing really well for an original movie. And it's, like, gets its own list because it's at the top of original movies. And every other movie around it in the box office is some kind of sequel or part of a bigger universe. And you just sort of start getting tired of that. Whereas you can jump into your TV shows, and then you're not having like part 37 of the superhero or whatever. So I think it's, I don't, people probably, at least I know I do, I start getting tired of, oh my God, this is the 87th Batman movie in 10 years. Yeah. I cannot see another Spider-Man movie. Like,
there's definitely an oversaturation of the genre for sure.
Yeah, and that's a really good point.
And I like that TV is doing this new thing that kind of almost started with American Horror Story, where it's a different cast every season. True Detective's doing it now.
Yeah.
And The Leftovers is even completely kind of rebranding its second season. And I think that that is awesome, too, because you only have these characters for 13 episodes, with the exception of people coming back to American Horror Story, but they're playing different people. And I like that, especially that all the actors who have been involved with American Horror Story have spoke to this, saying, I get to come back and play someone completely new. They sell me on the characters, not the show. So it's something different every time, which I appreciate as a writer, too, because you're not watching the same thing season after season.
But do you not feel that TV is sort of headed in that way of film, in the sense that there are so many spin-off shows of shows now, and there's so many, how many superhero shows we have now, too?
Ah, but not if you don't watch the Marvel stuff like me.
But I cover all of the DC ones.
Yes, you can talk to Caitlin, probably has a lot to say about that.
You know, that's actually, I mean, and we shouldn't spend too much time on this again, because we're running a little bit long, but I think Katie brings up a fantastic, I mean, you all bring up fantastic points, but I think just to wrap it up, I think that's true, that there are network television for sure, but also, you know, Netflix has all those Marvel shows coming out, and there is this sort of adaptation in television. Again, a lot of new shows are adaptation series. But so I think that's just a general nostalgia sort of let's do definitely. What we know kind of trend, which is going to pass at some point. And I think, you know, with this, like anything else, it's kind of like cyclical.
Cyclical.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So I was going to get there. but it's gonna come around again at some point, and they're going to, because, you know, they go where the money is, and they're always going to go where the money is, and at some point the money is going to go somewhere else.
Totally.
There you go. Solved. All right, a final couple of news stories here. We've got one, a big actor moving to television.
Yes, speaking of great television.
Yeah, I love those speaking of transitions.
Rooney Mara, who you might know from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, is set in talks to star in HBO's adaptation of Utopia.
Yeah.
Has anyone watched the original Utopia?
No.
I was
going to
say, no.
Well, you should. It's amazing. It was on Channel 4. I'll be honest, I've only watched the first season. I didn't watch the second one yet. It's your basic premise of a group of people find something that maybe they shouldn't have, and some evil corporation wants it, so they hunt them down to get it. And throughout the season, they discover new things about what it is that they have and sort of what it's all about. And for Utopia, this thing in question is a manuscript of a comic book sequel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's this show.
Oh,
I'm so excited for this.
The original comic predicted some global catastrophes. So this evil corporation now wants the second one to see what it says. And Yeah.
That's awesome. Has anyone else been cast?
No one's been cast yet. David Fincher is set to direct the entire season. And Gillian Flynn, Gone Girl author, is writing the script.
What?
Oh, I'm so excited.
So it's got some big names attached to it.
That sounds actually really awesome. That sounds amazing.
I love Andrew's final paragraph in this article. He says, "We think this show will connect with our readers because it follows a set of super fans who are desperate to read more about a world created about their favorite author. It'd be like if J.K. Rowling announced she hid a copy of Harry Potter 8 in a secret location somewhere in the world and gave all of her fans a couple of difficult clues to help hone in on its whereabouts." And then that's the end of the article.
Oh my God, I love that too.
Andrew's always Harry Potter minded. So yes,
as he should be. That's amazing.
Exactly. This sounds interesting. I'd be interested to check this out just based on, well, frankly, Andrew's last paragraph. But I didn't realize that was what the show was, but it does ring a bell now that you guys explained it.
It will be interesting to see how HBO adapts it, especially Fincher, because the original, the British version, it's very bright, it's very colorful, it's very vibrant, and that's not exactly Fincher's style.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be darker, guys. It's all about darkness these days.
It's going to be so dark.
Yeah.
Gillian Flynn is writing it. Like, if you've read Gone Girl, you understand. But her other books, like, they're just nothing but messed up people doing messed up things over and over.
It's very messed up. It's a very messed up show.
That sounds like
fandom. She's perfect for it, then. Like, because all she does is messed up people. So.
If Game of Thrones, if the violence in that bothers people, then this probably isn't the show for them.
Oh, good to know, because I, again, don't watch shows where blood is involved.
Wow. What do you watch, violent. Dude?
I know. I'm the creator of Glee Chat. What do
That's
you expect?
True. That's a good point.
In other dark adaptation news, the Dark Swan is coming to Once Upon a Time, and the first images of Emma as having embodied the Dark Ones. I don't know what it's called. I guess it's like a ancient spirity type thing. Whatever it is, she's embodied it. And the first images were released this week ahead of Comic-Con, and she looks more like the movie Black Swan than anything else. So
yeah, she does.
Once Upon a Time, once again, kind of copped out and took something that already existed and applied it to their show. I don't know. I think I'm just still so mad about the second half of last season that it'll be interesting to see what they do with Emma, because I'm looking forward to it, which means it's going to be a disappointment.
Oh, that's so sad to hear you say that. Like, I remember when I covered Once Upon a Time and when I watched Once Upon a Time, and I loved it so much in the first couple of seasons. And yeah, I have tried to go back a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I was so excited because the whole premise of, like, season 4B was that the darkness was coming for Emma, but they built it up to where you thought it was going to be, like, oh, they introduced, like, these three great characters. They brought back Maleficent, they introduced Cruella, they had Ursula, and then they killed them off, like, one by one, and they were gone, and then you still had half the season to go. And so I was like, well, it just never felt that Emma was tempted at all by the darkness. So I feel like they should have saved that slogan and marketing for this season. But We'll see. I was just waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And it never actually happened. But it's happening now. So I'm kind of just weary of dealing with Emma and darkness. But now that she is the Dark One, we'll see how it goes.
For sure. And that comes back in September?
Yeah, September 27th.
Awesome. And our final story.
Speaking of Comic-Con.
And on a good note.
I guess.
Yeah, sure, why not? Like we were just talking about,
We were just talking about it.
And where all the usual panelists are right now.
Yes.
Right.
Comic-Con will be staying in San Diego at least through 2018. Its contract expired after this year's Comic-Con in San Diego, and they have renewed it for a couple of years, so it'll still be in San Diego. We'll see if there's actually room.
Is this a good thing? Should we cheer?
Yeah, I was wondering that. I'm like, what is the news? Should we be excited about that?
It's good for people in San Diego, because that brings a ton of money for them. So People in San Diego, I'm sure, are very happy.
But what is the issue that there? Because I've never been, and I'm hoping to go, of course. But so because there's so many visitors and the spaces are so small, like they're hoping if they moved it to somewhere like LA, they would hope that there would be more space or that they would get more visitors.
More hoping like there'd be places for people to stay, and because they said Deadlines is last year, the convention drew an estimated 130,000 people.
My God.
That's massive.
I went in 2012, and obviously there's a couple of people on Hypeable staff that go every year, but I remember being so excited to go, and like I got a decent hotel room, and I got there, and it was just sort of like overwhelming. I mean, obviously it's Comic-Con, you're meant to be around the big crowds, but the crowds were sort of to a point that it was like, okay, I just want to be alone, like in a shower, away from all of you people.
John hiding in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, that is like, I think in some ways the great part about it too, is you're there with so many other nerds and you're just going crazy and having fun. But it does seem like if they want to continue, because I feel like every year we hear about how it has record numbers, and especially with all the superhero movies, like I'm sure people are flocking there even more than they ever had.
Very, very mainstream.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to need to expand a little bit or do some infrastructure changes, because I know every year Andrew and the couple of folks from Hypeable that go every year have a huge like, you know, freak out moment when they get their emails about when they can sign up for the line to get a bed downtown. Like, you know, all the like lodging situation seems to be the biggest problem. But
part of San Diego is that hotels aren't going to be able to skyrocket their rates around the con.
I wrote this up as well. So that was the thing that I thought it was really important to note, because that's like the biggest good news for non-locals.
Yeah. So expensive, so ridiculous. And hopefully they figure it out, because who wants to like have the anxiety of dealing with, you know, where you're staying on top of the big crowds there.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing about moving it, I mean, obviously, I know nothing, guys. I'm like halfway around the world. But part of moving it to sort of a high profile location like LA, I mean, as far as I know, there's nothing in San Diego but Comic-Con. But moving it to somewhere like LA, like, I did not mean anything by that. I take that back.
There's a zoo there.
Fandom stuff.
There is a zoo.
I know. I watched that in Friends. But yeah, but and it, I mean, I'm moving into LA. I mean, obviously, you know, you'd have a lot more day people sort of just flitting in and out. Like, I'm thinking there's also drawbacks in that you might have less committed fans, and you might just have more people coming in off the street. Not literally, but you know what I mean, like, because it's easily accessible.
That's a good point.
So yeah, I mean, but good news again for San Diegans. I know, you know, to name drop Jay and Jack, that podcast that maybe some of you guys listen to, they're doing a panel there every year, and they will be happy at least. So I don't know why I felt the need to name drop another podcast, but there you go, guys. We can listen to all kinds of podcasts.
By the way, I think we should mention, though, that the people from Hypeable that will be at Comic-Con are having a meetup for fans. So if you're listening to this show, go to our Hypeable like website and also the Facebook page. I think there's sort of an event created and you can get all the details.
I'm going to plug that again at the end of the show. But yeah, they will have a hangout, and they would really like all of you guys to go. It's going to be at the Garage Kitchen Plus Bar on Thursday, the 9th of July, for happy hour. So they'll be there from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can, again, you can find that info on hypeable.com. And I think they would really appreciate it if you showed up and tell us that the Comic-Con rejects sent you. Make them feel bad.
I think they have little gifts or pins or something to give away too. So if you're collecting things like I did and then couldn't fit them into your bags, head over to that meetup.
Awesome. So that wraps up the news this week. And before we say goodbye, let's just quickly do listener feedback, because we actually got a lot this week and we don't want you guys to feel like we've forgotten about you. So our first comment, let me see. Caitlin, do you want to get that one?
Sure. Ashley says, I loved Sense8, but I agree the first episode doesn't grab you. I didn't really get into it until episode 3. These characters are so wonderfully amazing and diverse. Selena, I hope you can give it another chance. And Kyle, I hope you enjoy the rest of the season. Well, Kyle out in the universe. get that sentiment.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll listen.
This is good for me because I actually have a couple of friends that are begging me to watch Sense 8. So now that Ashley says it's good, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you sent this comment, Ashley, because again, you know, as I said last week, I've only had people telling me it's okay, you know, and that isn't exactly like an incentive to spend 10 hours of your life on something. So, so yeah, awesome. And the next comment, Katie?
Sure. This one comes from Alice?
I don't know.
If you like Sebastian Stan, you need to see the NBC show Kings. It was canceled after season one, but I loved it.
Yeah, so for everyone who doesn't know, I like Sebastian. This came out last week. Thank you. This is actually funny because I didn't mention this last week, but I actually did used to watch that, and I didn't, because this was back like years and years ago. Stupid show. I did used to watch it because I kind of liked the premise, and it was this whole biblical retelling. I thought it was terrible, like so terrible. Like the lead actor, the king, was fantastic. But the young, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but like the young actor, main actor, he was so bad. Like I have never seen worse acting in my life. And I'm like, if you listen, I'm sure you got better. Guy whose name I can't remember. But it was like, but I watched the whole thing. And I think part of it, you know, Sebastian Stan, let's get real. But I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you liked it, Alice. But I remember it being really bad. Who else? Was it Katie? You watched it?
Or? Yeah, I did when it first aired as well. I don't have fond memories either.
You know it's a bad show when you don't have fond memories of it.
Yeah, and it was just the motivations were weird. But again, there were good parts. There were. So, yeah, thank
like
you.
Sebastian Stan. That's,
like, pretty much, yeah. All right, and next comment, Caitlin. Did you get one today?
I did the first one.
Oh, yeah. This is all the comments. So, John, do you want to get the next one?
Sure, but there's an acronym I don't quite understand. The FBAW. What is that?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them. Oh, duh. John, get together.
It took me forever. Because I thought I was going to have to read it, and I was like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I was like sitting here sweating. I was like, I don't know what that means.
I didn't know either.
But actually, that's funny because I was looking at the Michael Cera thing. Anyway, let's read the comment and then I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Kamimo says, 100% agree with Kyle about Michael Cera in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Worst idea ever. Don't much like Josh Gad either, to be honest. And I was looking at the comment and I was like, what has Michael Cera been in that has that long acronym?
Oh, so much hate for Michael Cera. We got several of those comments, and like Kyle was sort of hating on him last week, and I just did the same thing with Kings, but we don't usually like to do that on Hype. But apparently, you know, it sat well with the readers, so there you go.
For you guys on here, are you excited for this movie? Obviously everybody probably is, but I'm really just so excited about the American aspect of this world.
Sure.
I don't know why. I'm excited to hear like new things from the Wizarding World that apply to Americans. I don't know.
Yeah. Merca.
America. 4th of July.
I'm excited for it in general, not just the Americanness of it.
Okay, and I'll read Shalumiel's comment. She says, remember how at Marima White mentioned on Hypeable Hype how Spy is seriously crying while laughing, hilarious and feminist and smart? She meant it! !3 Yes, there's been a lot of love for Spy on the show. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't,
saw it twice.
But I... Oh, wow.
Okay. Yes.
Wow.
I haven't seen it, but I know Andrew really loved that movie, and I always rely on him. He's actually a really great person for me to sort of gauge in terms of whether or not I'm going to like a movie, because he and I kind of have similar thoughts about it. And now, over the last like week or two, I've heard a lot of people really talking about it, so I think I'm going to head out and see it.
Yeah, what did you think?
I love Melissa McCarthy, so I was first in line to see Spy.
She's funny.
I still think that Tammy is one of the best movies ever made. No one agrees
really?
With me.
Oh
Tammy
my God,
is
wow.
so good.
Oh my. It's like I don't even know you, Brittany.
I love Tammy so much.
Oh, that's cool. That's certainly a different opinion than what we have in the show so far.
And that's why we have this podcast,
exactly,
so that we can disagree.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it's funny because, you know, I watched Tammy and I was like, I like Melissa McCarthy a lot, but I was like, oh, these jokes, I don't know. Spy. Oh my God, Spy. It's like the Ready Player One of movies for you guys that listen regularly. It's very, very, very good. Yes. And our final comment, Brittany?
Yeah, so this great transition. Speaking of Ready Player One, Allison L. says, I recently finished Ready Player One, and I really enjoyed it. So thanks to the entirety of the Hypeable staff for that recommendation. Has anyone read or heard of the series A Discovery of Witches? It's a historical fantasy series and seems like a series that a lot of Hypeable readers / staff would enjoy. I really enjoyed it and couldn't put it down. Outlander and The Night Circus are other books that come up as you all might also like recommendations, so I thought I'd throw that out there as another recommendation. I just finished Discovery of Witches a week ago, I think, and I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite book I've ever read. There are a couple in the series, and I've kind of taken a pause before continuing, but it was a good read. There's vampires and witches and warlocks, and it's kind of set in this academic setting. Yeah, it's actually like really, really interesting. It's a different world, like a world that doesn't seem as cliche as if you've read anything else with vampires and witches in it. So I appreciated that, but I think I'm going to wait a while before I pick up the rest of them.
Now, Katie.
Yes.
So on Hype, as you might know, there's pretty much been nothing but love for Ready Player One. It's like one of the topics that we always agree on. And our listeners have said, you know what? We really like your show, but we'd really like you to disagree a bit more. So I'm going to take this chance to allow you to disagree.
Oh, no.
Yes, Katie, talk about your article.
Well, okay. I know that a lot of people have been saying what they've been saying.
Yeah, don't listen to that.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it.
No.
It was good.
Yeah, tell us what you think.
It just had problems. To me.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting me on the spot now.
Sorry.
What are some issues?
I just thought that the author, he's a self-proclaimed nerd, writing about nerds, writing for nerds, and it seemed like there were a lot of things in the book that were criticizing nerds.
Hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't disagree with you. I sped through it. I thought it was really addictive and I got really into sort of the worlds that Ernest Cline was setting up. But I think first of all, your article, which you can read on hypeable.com, makes some fantastic points. And it's very sort of an alternative take on this glorification of a geek culture and what it means to be a fan. Because, I mean, from what I understand from your article, I mean, these characters in the book, aside from our main character who sort of learns to love this world, which the author, it's a whole big, all these worlds, this world of the 80s, which this creator has implored basically everyone to dig into, like everyone else is sort of just looking for clues. You know, they're trawling through this outdated, nostalgic field of entertainment without any real connection to it, without learning anything, without sort of engaging with the canon. And I think that's a really good point. And I think that's a really sort of a deeper way to look at it. We really want to do a Ready Player One Hype special at some point. And I definitely, I mean, and of course I'm going to invite you back for that because it's great to have an alternative perspective. I didn't just scare you off.
John,
I'm just giggling.
Laugh.
I'm sorry. It was just funny.
But yeah, no, so I think it's really good that we brought it up. Is there anything else you want to mention?
I don't want to get into it too much if there's going to be a talk just about that. But yeah, I don't want to say it wasn't a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I would still recommend it, but maybe look at it more critically than just breezing through.
Awesome. And that's how we'd like to enjoy all of our fandom, to mixed success. But awesome. So that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. I want to thank all of you guys for coming on the show. It has actually been really, really great. And I hope, you know, I'm sure our listeners will really enjoy some other voices discussing these big fandom topics. Now, as always, keeping up with the contact information. We had a lot of comments this week, and we really thank you guys, also the ones that we didn't get to read on the show. You can get in contact with us about something we talked about on this week's episode or what you'd like to us to talk about in the future, either by going on hypable.com, which is hypable.com, clicking the little plus up in the left-hand corner where you can find links to the podcast episodes. You can also tweet us at HypableHype. And again, I want to sort of tentatively recommend our Instagram, which is also HypableHype. And again, I do this every week. If you have a spare moment, please go into iTunes and rate and review us. It would really help us out. You know, we do try our best to sort of get a little bit more noticed outside of Hypable, and that would really help us do that. And I'm looking in the Danish iTunes store every week, and there's never anything. So if anyone from Denmark is listening, please, guys, help me out, because I can only rate myself so many times. So not that I do that. I would never do that. God. Also, we just want to do this one more time. If you are going to Comic-Con, then Thursday, July 9th, at the Garage Kitchen Plus Bar at 6 p.m., go meet up with the Hypable staffers, or just, you know, see if you can spot them at the events. We're going to cover a bunch of different events, like so many events, and you can read about them on hypable.com.
And Selena, do you know who all's going? I don't even know the final
list. 20 people, I don't know. It's like basically everyone but us.
Yeah, it's everyone. You know, we're just like home alone over here, you guys.
We are. It's just taking over. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know, you know, obviously Andrew, Pam, and Merriman, and Kyle, and Laura, and Jen, and Danielle, and Danya, and everybody.
Nice.
So go. You can obviously also find all of them, all of their Twitter handles, and tweet them if you want to see if you can find them somewhere. And finally, before we wrap up, guys, if you want to plug anything and give your Twitter handles where people can find you, stuff like that, then now's the time to do it.
I'll jump in. It's John. You can find me at Jay Thrasher on Twitter and listen to my other podcast currently in iTunes, or go to currentlypodcast.com. You can also listen to myself and Caitlin on Glee Chat, which is now retired.
So you can't.
So you can. We don't
Too
have
late.
Any new episodes, but you can pretend. Yeah.
But you can listen to me and Caitlin on Rewatchable.
Amazing transition.
Wow.
Yeah, as
speaking of Caitlin.
Speaking of Caitlin, we're on Rewatchable currently, and you should check us out because we're towing Legend of Korra, and it's awesome, and I'm very emotionally invested in cartoon characters, so it's fun to hear me talk about them every week.
Cool.
Well, since I was the common denominator, I'll go next. Like Brittany said, check out Rewatchable. We've done a whole bunch of shows. We've done Firefly and Pushing Daisies and Avatar the Last Airbender and Veronica Mars, and we just did Freaks and Geeks, so there's a whole bunch of back episodes to check out. And you can find me on Twitter at Purple Haired Wonder. It's at Purple HRD Wonder.
One day you're going to explain that to us, because it's...
I've explained it before. It's a reference to an anime character that I liked when I was 13.
Okay. Brittany, go on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say a fun story about Caitlin is that Caitlin was a
fan
of Bleach. Yeah, speaking of Caitlin, because that's where I always end up going, I've noticed, is Caitlin was a fan of Glee Chat before we sort of realized how great she was and brought her on. And I always noticed her handle, and I was like, what does Purple HRD Wonder mean? Like, I never quite made the connection that it would mean Purple Haired Wonder. And I think I made the revelation, like, while I was on Glee Chat one day, and I was like, oh my God, I get it now.
It's hair.
It's hair. Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
cool.
All right.
Bro, I was going to ask Brittany, did you give your Twitter handle?
Oh, no, I'm boring. But my Twitter handle is at BRITLovely237.
All right. And Katie?
Yeah, I'm not very active on Twitter either. But if you're interested, it's Caitlin Awad, but not the same spelling as Caitlin.
So K?
K.
Okay. Okay, there you go. You never heard that one before. So, and obviously all of these wonderful people can be found on hypeable.com where they write stuff and do stuff and are generally just awesome. So, you know, virtual group hub, this was amazing. And we're all sort of like, oh, no, don't end the show. Of course. Next time that all of my co-hosts desert me, you guys will be invited back in a heartbeat.
The B team will be back sometime.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah, the dark, you know, hype, the dark side.
Yes.
the shadow cells. And obviously, you know, as you know, Hype now sometimes do Hype specials. We've only done one so far, but we are aiming to do more. So obviously when we do those, then we invite other Hype People staff members on to join if it's topics that they're interested in. So keep an eye out for that. That's officially the end. So until next week I will not be on. And so no one will be on who was on this week. The other people will be doing a Comic-Con wrap-up show, potentially a special, potentially just tied into the normal news show. We'll let you know more about that on Twitter. My name is Lena.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm John.
I'm Katie.
I'm Brittany.
And because I just edited all of the other stuff out, it sounds like you guys are amazing at this. Yay!
Yay.
Totally first try. All right. So, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
But until then, my name is Lena.
I'm John.
I'm Caitlin.
This is a little fun.
Can you tell we've never done this before, you guys?
Well, you know, we never get it right.
In alphabetical order. Some have a list at the bottom. It's different on every podcast.
You have a list at the top. Go with that.
That's what I thought we were going to do. Okay.
Okay. So let's start over. I'm Selena.
Okay, do it again.
Okay, now I'm going to do it again. Are you ready?
Let's get this, you guys.
Okay. You know, buddy, you know, the normal hosts don't get this either. It's easy for me because I'm first, so I get to tease them about it.
Right.
So.